Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, Evolokimab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
Shocking video footage has emerged of a Gartha car being rammed in the Cherry Orchard area of Dublin last night. The incident followed a car chase where groups of spectators are seen to cheer when the police vehicle is rammed. You can see this on social media everywhere and on the main broadcast and print media sites. You can actually have a look at this video. But it's interesting to get the Gartha official version of events. Garthy responded to reports of dangerous driving in the Cherry Orchard area. Upon arrival, Garthy observed two vehicles driving erratically. Both vehicles failed to stop when requested to do so by Garthy, and one vehicle collided with an official Gartha vehicle. No injuries were reported during the incident. So, you know, it's night and day. The drama of what everyone can see on social media versus that fairly dry account of what is quite clearly a very frightening incident for the Gardaí involved. Well, joining me to talk about this, local councillor Hazel de Northune, Calvin O'Brien, co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast, and former Detective Inspector Pat Murray. And we'll start with you, Hazel. What is your reaction to this?
Well, I think we all have to openly condemn what happened last night. I think it's important to say that we have a brilliant community in Cherry Orchard, and this is only a small minority that are doing this activity. And I'm originally from the area. I have family and friends living in the area, and we've been raising these concerns for some time now. This is a decades-long issue. I know it escalated last night, but we only had the Minister for Children out there, Roderick O'Gorman, last week. He was attending one of the local youth services, and they actually brought him up to this particular spot to show him that this activity has peaked within the last few weeks in this particular area, and showed him the video to try and make the argument for more funding for services in the area to tackle this.
Driving, I mean, the guys are driving up and down. There are two cars. I don't know whether they're borrowed or stolen or what they are, but they're two fairly modern looking cars, and they're doing wheelies and doing all sorts of things. And then a Gartha car arrives and the drama unfolds. The audience watching from an adjacent field are cheering as the guys intimidate the Gartha and ultimately ram the Gartha car, and the Gartha beat a wise but hasty retreat. To the cheers of derision of the crowd. That's actually what happened, what unfolded. And I'm wondering, are there no preventative measures on that particular stretch to stop that kind of activity? I mean, on some of the most sedate streets in the city, you've got ramps. No ramps here.
There is further down, I'd say. It is a bus route as well, so we do have those ramps that are no longer deemed useful, which are called the cushion ramps, which swerved over to the other side of the road. But I suppose a piece on what had happened last night, this isn't the first time that the Gardaí have come up to respond to an issue like this, and they have been taunted before, although obviously last night was a particular escalation. And we've been a year now meeting with services, the Dublin City Council in particular, crying for funding to say that we have proposals on how we tackle this. The minister said when he came out that the services that need to tackle this are bespoke type of services. They're not average youth care services. It's intergenerational trauma that needs to be broken. And the area is deeply traumatised. This has been happening night and day. Mm. Like this incident happened at 7:30 last night, where the day before and day before that was 3 or 4 in the evening. And this is right outside a school. And, you know, we've been identifying it. We've put the needs across. This is an approach that has been coming into this area for a long time, and you're probably very aware of that, Pat. And I would be of the approach that we need to deal with this before it comes a Garda issue. You know, we've identified people are living in deep needs up there, and we would like to deal with it before it becomes to this level. Like, we can't be dealing with it a case if somebody loses their life. We don't want them to get to there. And we would be recalling for that service again to be given.
Now, you talk about a minority, and I'm sure that is the case. But clearly, even the spectators, you know, they're not intimidated by the Gardaí at all. I mean, they've no fear.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been very clear as to how the response is. So I would have been, through my years as a councillor now, I would have been to many police and forums, and I would have raised the case and said, you know, how come the Gardaí didn't respond to any particular instance that would have happened? There's many, but any particular instance. And they had said, well, they damaged the Gardaí car. So it's my view that the young people already know the lay of the land when it comes to the Gardaí. And once you damage the patrol car, you know, there's only one patrol car in our local Gardaí station. It was downgraded. So once that car is off the road, it's gone. And then we get an overreaction from the services where damage is done and the cases have escalated. Then we get the chopper, the undercover guards, the you know, drug squad, whatever it may be from the neighbouring Ronanstown. So again, you know, there seems to be a case of, you know, this is well documented. You know, this case, I know it escalated, the video is very dramatised. It's very scary to see young people. I mean, there's reports that one of the people driving that car is 14 years of age. You know, like this is all being identified, and we have given the solutions to it. And it needs an interagency approach, because when we go to Dublin City Council, they say it's the guards' problem. When you go to the guards, they say that it's the parents' problem. Then it goes back to Tusla, and this is what has been happening. You know, and I've been calling for this for such a long time. There's so much you could talk about that's happening up there. You don't have the time today, but we need all of the heads of all of these different agencies to get together and tackle it. As I said, there's a very good community up there in that area, and they're being absolutely intimidated. They're being traumatised.
Because you'd hate to think that a 14-year-old, no matter how irresponsible that 14-year-old was last night, that, you know, their life is already on a predetermined course to really destruction and despair, that they've no hope. Yeah. That'd be terrible to write someone off at the age of 14, but that might be the outcome. What about COVID? I mean, there was a perception in many parts of the city that there wasn't adequate policing during COVID, and that certain elements were allowed free rein to their instincts, and they kind of took over places, and that attitude has not left them.
Yeah. Well, I think that, and that is a case as well, you know, the services couldn't go out. There was a number of things, and when services were going out and meeting at homes, the level of child safety reports went up through the roof, because children were, and young people, when you say children, we are dealing with young people who are left within vulnerable positions within their homes. But it was also a case of there was a release from the prisons because of COVID, and what we've seen was people going back into the community and a lot of grooming of these young people, and then they were lost to the services.
Yeah.
Now, I'm no expert in all of this. I'm taking the feedback and from the, you know, everybody I'm talking to, and I'm sure there's a wider, you know, way of judging all of this, but those people have been lost to it. And the reason that we're calling for the targeting of working with these people is if they are removed and if they're worked with and we somehow work through it, like the spectators and the younger people and peer pressure, and people have been forced to partake and, you know, goad all these people on. You know, we should be working with the whole community in addressing this, you know, as again, those young people, they're very young that are standing around looking at, and adults as well. But again, it's a cry out, it's a response to what's been going on. And if everybody knows that if you want to bring a car to Flashy, bring to Cherry Orchard, because they seem to be getting away with it.
Yeah, and there's no doubt it was a spectacle that would command the attention of any passerby, yeah. Never mind the people who gathered specifically to watch it. Councillor Hazel Northoon, thank you very much. Pat Murray, former detective inspector, author of the book The Making of a Detective. This kind of thing, so-called joyriding and ramming of police vehicles, that's nothing new though, is it?
No, it's nothing new, Pat. I was observer in the patrol car in Blanchardstown in the late 80s and early 90s, and car chases were a regular feature of police work, and especially on weekends. And it got to such a stage where the culprits would come outside the old Garda station in Blanchardstown. They'd do wheelies in front of the Garda station and taunt you to come and chase them, like, you know. So it's not a new phenomenon, like car chases and ramming guards and that. But I did see, you know, in my time where we had incidences of cars doing exactly what they did in Cherry Orchard last night in Sheepmore and Fort Lawn areas of Blanchardstown. And we had to tackle that, and large crowds would gather, maybe up to 300, throwing stones and bottles and at the guards. And we had to address the issue with backup, where we had to engage the riot squad to bring order and stability back to the area, which we had to do. It meant cracking a few heads, but the problem was solved, and it was the only way to address the issue back then. You couldn't let a situation continue, because it would get worse, and the next night there'd be another, or next week there'd be another incident of similar, yeah. You know. But there is, let's say.
But is it something that waxes and wanes? You'd remember the time, as I do, that they decided to send all the so-called joyriders to Spike Island, and then they burnt down the place while they were there.
Yeah, well, look, that's another issue. But what I'm saying in respect of the joyriding, I know in our time when we were chasing cars, we had to check in with command and control. And if command and control thought that the chase was too dangerous, they would put a stop to us and tell us not to pursue the car, because there was a risk of injury to the Gardaí, to the people in the stolen car, and the public in general. So there was always a balanced approach taken. But there is, and I would say, plenty of law there to deal with these people. But I know what your last speaker was saying, that there's maybe issues in the community that need to be addressed, that if they were addressed, that these incidences would not happen. And that's a fair point. There may be a drug issue, there may be, you know, people who have an anger against society for one reason or another, like, you know. So I think it's a good idea for everyone to get together and sit down and think about it and how it's going to be approached. But the criminality is definitely a Garda issue. But there is the Criminal Justice Public Order Act there. There's a specific section there, Section 19, that deals with assaults on police officers, and it carries a 7-year sentence. You have Non-Fatal Offences Against a Person Act 1987, and you have the Criminal Damage Act, and they all carry hefty sentences. So what I'm saying is that there's plenty of law there to deal with these people, but maybe that's not the way in dealing with them. Maybe it's a social problem that needs to be addressed. But however, at the end of the day, you can't allow what went on last night to continue, and it has to be met with force, and it has to be met with a strategy by the guards.
All right,
deal,
Pat,
with it, you know.
Pat Murray, a former detective inspector, thank you very much for joining us. And Calvin O'Brien, co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast, is joining us now, listening to those two conversations. Calvin, what is your response to what happened last night, but also the coverage of it?
Yeah, I think the coverage of it's going to get blown out of proportion back completely. Like, it's all we're going to hear about for the next couple of days. And in terms of the media, working class has always been demonised in the media. So I think the media, it's going to have a case of talking out both sides of its mouth. Like, I come from an area which is it's deemed a no-go area, but yeah, has the highest rents in the country. So I don't know what way to take that. But that, what happened last night, like, nobody's condoning what happened there last night. That was absolutely disgraceful. But as Hazel touched on, this is generation after generation of underfunding. I guarantee those people there see a lack of opportunity in life, and their parents have probably seen the same thing. So this is a snowball effect of poverty and it's just going to keep rolling and rolling until it's addressed. And now I know you said yourself, it's now preventative measures like a speed bump. A speed bump's not going to prevent poverty down the line.
Sure.
These kids need role models. They need funding. They need to see a way out. They need to see a way of making a future for themselves. What they seen last night was they seen people ramming the police. And you were saying, are they not intimidated by the Garda presence? You shouldn't be intimidated by Garda presence. You should see the Garda and feel security. Mm. You shouldn't feel the Garda and feel like, oh, let's be hostile. The Garda, on the Garda side then, I think they handled it the best way they could. They were under resourced there. They just left the area. They knew it was going to get out of hand. And they kind of prevented the issue from escalating.
Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt that if I happened to be passing by and this was going on, I would stop because it's very dramatic. And I'm sure many of the contemporaries of the drivers of those cars would have found this to be the best crack they've had in ages to watch this going on.
Yeah, and probably, and is that not a product of their environment then, Pat? So we need to change the environment that they're in. That if they see the best thing that they can do on a night is have a joyride.
Indeed. Absolutely. Where do you start, though, Calvin? Because, you know, when we talk about multi-generational problems and so on, you've got to start somewhere. And yet, you know, intervening with the younger generation when you're trying to help them see opportunities in life, keep them in school, but they go home in the evening and they get no support maybe from a parent who doesn't see the point.
Yeah, well, then you need after-school facilities. You need more investment in youth services. You need to show them there's more options. And like, you go to school, you get a job, you go to college or whatever. You need to show there's other avenues you can go down to make a decent living and not go down this avenue of crime and not go down this antisocial avenue. And then on the other side as well, Pat, we need more investment in the police. And I don't just mean go in there and throw in numbers and over-police the area. We need more quality than quantity when it comes to Garda. So they know how to intervene when they see young kids and they're at that crucial point in their life where they could go down the bad road and they're at that crossroads, maybe even more community Garda. So when you do see them, you see a friendly face and you're not intimidated by them. Yeah. And you don't feel like, oh, I'm gonna have to go the other way. There's the Garda, you know? So
what do you think would happen if, you know, someone, a young fella from that community went on, did the Leaving Cert and joined the Guards? How would they be treated in their own community?
Yeah, well, that could be the start of something. Of course, they'd probably be looked down upon because that's just the relationship that community has with the Garda. And that's there. That's generational. Maybe the next generation of Garda can't come from these areas.
All right, Calvin, look, thank you very much for your contribution. Calvin O'Brien, who's co-host of the Talking Bollocks podcast on Go Loud.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
My name is Lily, and I've had hidradenitis suppurativa, HS, for years. I finally found some relief since taking Cosentyx. Relief means I can show up more.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for adults with moderate to severe hidradenitis suppurativa, HS. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your dermatologist about Cosentyx.